Morning Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
To do customer use? Are you all right with that, Madam Chair?
Yes, absolutely.
Then let's do it in February.
That's fine.
I think it'll slow down what he's saying, because I'm getting it every day.
Yeah, and I'm getting it too, but Commissioner.
I mean, at the end of the day, those citizens are going to have input. So at the committee whole, they're not going to be able to speak. And so what Commissioner Berry is saying, that you put it on as a discussion, because those citizens, regardless, are going to want to give their input. So we can have a committee of the whole, but we're going to have to add it to the agenda.
Yeah, there was an interesting discussion that was being had about what to do with customary use. This customary use, in case you're not familiar, is the idea that on the one hand, people who own beachfront property have property lines, and that can extend to different places. It can go to the water line. It can go to 75 feet off the water line. It can go to the water line, but then there can be a public access easement. It can go to the water line, but then you can have the thing called customary use, which is the idea that, you know, long-standing public access to that beach constitutes a kind of, like, you know how when, like, squatters' rights, I mean, it's not quite the same, but it's kind of in the vicinity. It's like, if somebody has lived in a place long enough, it's like common law marriage, you know, they've been doing a thing long enough that even if they haven't officially got the right to do it, you still consider it that same way. That's kind of what public access is, or what customer use is. But there's a long history of, you know, yes, it was allowed, then it was not allowed, and now it's kind of back to being allowed, but only under certain circumstances. And so it's been this constant fight. It's not a fight out on Pensacola Beach, okay, because that beach is all public owned up to the the dune line or the vegetation line. I forget which is, but those are very similar anyway. There's no issue about that being publicly owned, despite what you might hear from some activists who wasted all of our time for hundreds of hours a couple of years ago. I still think it's amazing that they claim this big victory out of what they thought was a thwarting of something that Matt Gaetz and others were doing. And it wasn't. It was, I mean, but, you know, whatever, you know, pay them off in PR time. Anyway, back to, I'm sorry, some of these things crack me up. Back to the issue of customer use. It's a Perdido Key issue. Okay. That's where you have this question. And it's worth noting in advance that if you haven't been tracking this, or if you haven't heard us talking about this before, there are at least two different kinds of beachfront areas on Perdido Key. One area, about a mile and a half in length, is that place where they had the 75-foot public access granted. That's like its own thing. And because that was something separate from the other areas where it's just the mean high water line or not, and that's kind of been the issue. So anyway, just to kind of keep, just because you settle one part of Perdido Key doesn't mean you settle all the parts of Perdido Key. They are not all one thing. Anyway, so they're talking about having a committee of the whole meeting about this because people are showing up. The beachfront property owners do not want public access on what they consider their property. The public wants access on what they know is somebody else's property, but which they believe they have historically had access to, and we shouldn't be shutting them off. Ashley Hoffberger.
There's a lot of them, but I agree. Something's got to give.
So I do agree with Commissioner May, because I can see the hate mail now. You guys did this as a committee of a whole, and we missed the discussion, and you didn't get our input. And they would not be wrong. So with that,
I'm open to whatever y'all want.
I think you're going to get a lot of discussion tonight. So
you're going to get it every night until you do something about it.
Yeah, and they did have, this was at the committee of the whole meeting, they did have a lot of discussion about this later on in the night meeting, and we'll talk about some of that coming up. Allison Rogers actually did a really good job of explaining how this was an issue. Again, public had access until 2018. Then there was a shift in the law, and then there was another shift in the law.
I think the reason that this is in the last 6 months or so become such a big issue is that, you know, based on Governor DeSantis's initiative, the statutory presumption regarding customary use has now been amended back to its pre-2018 favor of the public. The statutory presumption for about 7 or 8 years was changed, and it was swayed in favor of the private owners. It's now statutorily the presumption is back in favor of the public.
Yeah, and that's as a result of what the legislation that came through and Governor DeSantis signing it. And so, again, now this is the other way around. But you still have to prove that this particular area of the beach was used customarily by the public because, you know, to take an example, okay, there's plenty of beach in Gulf Breeze that is not ever going to be customary use threatened, if you want to think of it as a threat, or accessible, if you want to think of it as accessible. Depends on your perspective, if you're an owner or a non-owner, because you can't prove that it was ever something that the public used because it's not publicly available. There, you know, there's lots of beaches all over the place where the public has never been able to go. So you can't just say, oh, well, there's sand, customary use. It has to be, there's sand, here's pictures, here's government actions, here's evidence, here's testimony, here's, and not just, you know, well, me and my family used to go there a long time ago. It has to be something very clear in the documentary record in order to show customary use. There has to be a justifiable basis for declaring it as accessible to the public.
It's probably also things where your environmental department can show where public resources were used to protect certain beach properties, BP oil spill, hurricanes, berms, I mean, all these kinds of things, factually, with witnesses, with documentary evidence, not just, well, you know, I always used to go out there. It needs to be very specific evidentiary record.
Yeah, and other things can contribute to whether it is considered, you know, public access or not, like if the county did beach renourishment there, depending on the amount of work done. I think I'm a little outside of my area of knowledge on this, but I think, you know, what she's saying is that if you can show that the county invested money, which could be beach renourishment, but could be other things as well, like she was talking about the BP oil spill, remediation efforts, you know, depending on the degree to which the existing nature of the property can show it has a public, like the public made it that way, then it might be more open to public access. So there's a lot of considerations, and they're going to have a long conversation about this, and they're also going to have to take a vote about this and make a decision. I mean, they could not make a decision, but that's not going to be acceptable to the people. You know, what I thought was interesting in all this conversation was, sometimes you get stuck in the way of thinking of your options based on what you're used to having for options. And I say that because remember the early comment that Ashley Hoffberger made about if we do a committee of the whole, people will be upset because the rules are in a committee of the whole, the public doesn't get to speak. It is not a voting meeting. It's specifically a meeting where they can hear presentations by different sides, typically staff, sometimes outside organizations. I mean, you know, like if you're doing a construction project, you might have a committee of the whole about that and then have three different presenters like OLF 8 or something like that. Okay, so, but there's no actual vote taken at that meeting. There might be staff direction, but there's no action items. That's always in the regular meeting. Well, the problem is in the regular meeting, you know, you've already kind of invested time and effort, plus regular meetings are often quite long to begin with, and then you have 800 people show up. They want to talk on both sides of the issue. It gets to be quite lengthy, but at least that's a public access to the meeting. They can, you know, they can participate. Well, so here's a third idea, you know, something that I think, you know, Commissioner Hoffberger, Chair Hoffberger, you know, might consider is, you know, doing something where you have like a special called meeting, because then you can have a meeting only about that subject. You could have a vote in that meeting. You could have public testimony in that meeting. I mean, anytime you're going to have a vote, you have to have public testimony, or you have to allow for public commentary. You could set it up so that you have, you know, staff give a presentation. You could even, I mean, I don't really know what the rules are about these special call meetings, but you could also even do it where you're like, I'm going to give an hour to your side and an hour to their side, and then you guys delegate the roles as you see fit. You know, you could pick the Perdido Key association as one side, and I don't know who you'd want to pick on the other side, but you know, you could do it that way, I think, theoretically. And then, you know, you'd make sure and get all the, and be like watching a debate in Congress where they'd go back and forth and they'd delegate speakers and people would, you know, you wouldn't have the limit of 3 minutes per person. You might give each a half hour or 45 minutes or whatever, and then they could do what they want with it. So I suspect that Ashley Hoffberger is going to do something like that, maybe, because, you know, that kind of threads the needle, solves the problem of giving a voting meeting, allows for the time problem because this is going to be a long meeting. And then also, you know, does something to make sure that you have public access along with a decision. 519 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. But by the way, just maybe I didn't explain this, but this is an incredibly visceral issue because people who own property don't want trespassing. I mean, you know, just like you don't want people traipsing through your backyard. Or, and I know not everybody's going to relate to this, maybe, because some people don't mind, but you know how some people have a driveway that's close to an intersection and people like to turn around that driveway and it pisses you off? Think about that times 1,000. Because then it's not just turning around in your driveway. It's parking in your driveway, getting out, going for a walk, coming back, having a picnic in your driveway, and then, you know, going off about their merry business. Well, for people who live on the beach and own property, that's how they feel about it. It's my beach. You didn't pay for it, you don't maintain it, you make it messy, you create problems. That's how they look at it. On the other side, people who don't own the beachfront property but are used to going there, they have always gone there, or think they have, and you know, they feel like that's a public amenity, just like Pensacola. I mean, imagine if all of a sudden you couldn't go on Pensacola Beach because, you know, it was public, it was private property, and people decided to kick you off. You'd be livid. You'd be furious. You'd feel like your rights, you know, your entitlement, your something that you've loved all your life has been taken away from you by people who are being, you know, really selfish and mean and unjustified, maybe legally, but at the very least not being good neighbors and ruining an experience of having this shared, beautiful thing called a beach. Both sides have merit. Both sides. I mean, you know, most controversies, there's two sides. This is one of those things where there's really two sides. And it's understandable why some people think, hey, that's my property. And other people think, well, hey, that's my beach. And especially if they have grown up using it, you're just going to take this away because of what? Some shift in the legal presumption? Are you crazy? So especially when, you know, water and salt access is so important to a lot of people. Anyway, it's worth noting that you have direct opposition on how to dispose of a thing, sand and salty water. Something that both sides care deeply about, something that matters a lot to people who are in incompatible legal positions, and solving that is not going to, I mean, somebody's going to be furious. Probably going to be lawsuits, one way or the other, no matter what they decide. So, and the way it works is they're going to have to declare, like, this geography is public access, or, you know, customary use public access. This one is not, or they may not have to declare that one is not. I'll tell you, it'd be nice if they would say, here, yes, there, no. Here's 75 feet because of the, you know, the modifications to the actual lease on that property, or the, not the lease, the, I guess it is a lease. I'm pretty okay. Anyway, it's ownership. Sometimes remind myself what the fact differences are between Santa Rosa Island and Perdido Cape. Anyway, so they're going to have to make decisions. They don't have to make decisions, but they should make decisions so it is clear to everybody. These are the rules, and then people can litigate as they want to do. 522 on News Radio 92.3. It's cold. It is right around it's a little bit above freezing this morning, but man, this is definitely, some people wear shorts no matter what the weather is, but I would say not shorts. John, welcome back.
Thank you, sir.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Was it good to be there, though?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was worth going. I mean, you never know when the next time you're going to get to go to a semifinal for college football championship.
True.
Right?
You're right.
And that was a good game. It's a closer game than the Friday game.
Oh, I know.
No offense to your team, but I mean, you assume that Indiana is going to just mop
Miami.
Yeah. This is going to be as boring as the Oregon game. They're that good. It's so weird to say. Indiana is a genuine powerhouse this year.
In football. Indiana.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Not in basketball.
Right. I was like,
football.
You sure you're at the right sport?
So weird. I'm Andrew McKay.
The new year brings new health goals and wealth goals. Protecting your identity is an important step. Your info is in endless places that could expose you to identity theft, leading to lost funds. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second. If your identity is stolen, our restoration specialists will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Resolve to make identity health and wealth part of your New Year's goals with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code NEWS. Visit LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
It all comes down to this, folks.
Yep, the entire season is on the line.
But my throat has officially thrown in the towel.
Sounds like you need Vicks VapoCool drops. They're max strength, hand vaporized sore throat pain.
Whoa! These VapoCool drops hit fast!
Speaking of fast, did you just see that play?
Yeah, he vaporized that ball.
That pun should have come with a penalty.
Vaporize sore throat pain with Vicks VapoCool drops. Use as directed. VapoCool.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WER-TV, News Radio Team, on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Now look what that dog did. He knows I can't see without my glasses.
You don't want
wow,
me singing
karaoke
back.
Nine, I know. It's like, oh, well, let me light the candle.
I had this funny experience last night. I was, oh, well, we got to let Pat have her moment. You're a heartbreaker, dream maker, love taker, and if some part of your body isn't doing air drums or foot drums or something to that, I'm just, we're not in the same tribe. I guess is how the kids would say it. You're very sus. 526 on News Radio 92.3. So,
your kids are probably like, Dad, stop.
Yeah, no, please don't, Dad. My wife was, she was out of the living room for a while last night, and I was playing music that I hadn't listened to in a long time. It was third day. I was listening to Wire and, I forget what the other one was, Come Together, maybe. And this is music I haven't listened to in a long time, but I listened to so many times in the 90s that it's like the lyrics are just burned in my brain. I don't even have to think hard about them to sing them.
Right.
And so I'm actually listening with my headphones. I'm show prepping and I'm singing. So I'm sure if you were in the room, you would have gotten the a cappella Andrew experience. Which
right.
I'm sure is not fantastic. Okay. Despite years of being raised by a mom who is the choir director and being in choir and all that. I'm not your singer. I freely admit it. So I was curious. Like I was at any moment, one of the boys kind of could have wandered out and experienced the sonic pain or whatever they would have had for me. But I've always been kind of wondering, how good or bad would it sound? And I just didn't find out because I don't want to know. But I thought about it. I thought,
you should have recorded it on your phone.
No, that's my point. I know. I thought about that. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that. But I thought my wife's going to, come out of the bedroom any moment. And she's going to like, what? What's happening?
Who's stabbing you or something?
Pranks. Also, this is completely not related to anything. But my wife is great at lyrics. She knows all the lyrics to every song she's ever heard, even one time. Okay.
Wow.
But she does not do band names at all or song names at all. Whereas I'm really good at the song names and the band name and good at the music, like the notes, but not great at, or the sound of it, but not good at the lyrics at all. And so when I'm singing, I got like 84% of the lyrics, maybe best case. So I'm sure it's entertaining when I don't have the lyrics to read from. I mean, songs I've heard 100 times. I'll look up the lyrics on online. I'm like, oh, is that what that is? All right, cool. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Hold on. I got to get to the right place here. It's 5 a.m. still. I'm sorry.
You need to stretch out more before the news.
Yes, I do.
I want you to pull something.
I think that'd be a good idea. Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell says the Justice Department has issued a subpoena to the central bank, warning of a possible criminal indictment. Powell said that indictment comes from his June Senate testimony concerning renovations to Federal Reserve office buildings. And he characterized it as an attempt to influence the Fed and its interest rate decisions. President Trump says the U.S. is considering strong options in Iran now as the protests there continue. He was asked Sunday on Air Force One if Iran was crossing a red line, saying that he felt like they were starting to. And he said there were some people killed that weren't supposed to be killed.
500 or more people have been killed in this most recent round of protests. I mean, this is... And
have you seen the massive turnout they're having in those?
No, you have between, nobody knows for sure because Iran is such a closed society, but 10 to 15,000 people have been arrested. I mean, people are burning buildings, burning streets. It's genuine. They are really, really frustrated about, you know, the economy, the political structure. So, you know, in the course of the mullahs are saying that, you know, if you protest, it's a death sentence. Like you're protesting against a law. It's bad. I mean, pay attention. This is a big story. Was that it? Sorry.
I think we're good. We've got more later.
Yeah, all right. We'll pick it up later. All right. Local news coming up next after Fox, of course, as always. And, John, I didn't need to see the field goal game last night.
Oh, goodness.
Good Lord. I fast-forwarded the whole game. I didn't even stop to play one time.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. President Trump says Iran wants to negotiate following his threat to strike the Islamic Republic, where activists say at least 544 demonstrators have been killed.
President Trump is closely watching the protests in Iran, so much so that he's set to meet with administration officials tomorrow to talk about next steps. The president, who has promised to respond forcefully if Iran resorts to mass violence, suggests the country is close to crossing his red line.
Fox's Madeline Rivera, President Trump denies having any knowledge of the probe into Fed Chair Jerome Powell, who reveals he's under investigation by the U.S. Attorney for D.C.
In every case, I have carried out my duties without political fear or favor, focused solely on our mandate of price stability and maximum employment.
Investigation tied to what he said last year about the Fed's building renovation project. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. Cold start to our day right now. We've got 36 degrees, and we'll get our full forecast with Brooke Richardson. That's on the way here in just a few minutes. An Escambia Sheriff's Office investigation has determined there was no foul play in the death of a man found back in December in a wooded area near Jim Allen Elementary School. The 56-year-old man died from an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound. He'd been reported missing 2 weeks prior on December 1st from around the area of Olive Road and Cody Lane. His body was found off Eden Lane and Highway 95A across the tracks from the school. The investigation was conducted by the Sheriff's Office and the Medical Examiner's Office. Well, the Coast Guard is replacing critical navigation aids in the East Pass and Destin. Congressman Petronas had pushed for those upgrades after sending a letter to the Coast Guard back in December. The area handles heavy vessel traffic and is vital to fishing, tourism, and boating. Petronas says the navigation aids are essential for mariners and first responders. The Coast Guard plans to finalize the infrastructure replacement agreement this year. Okaloosa County's commissioners praised that decision, calling it an essential component for visitors and for their community. Well, a 21-year-old man is dead after a shooting in Milton Saturday. That happened on Galahad Trail. Deputies say a 22-year-old man, Cameron Rashawn Keys, had a firearm that discharged and struck Tyler James Caraway Appleby. He died at the scene, and Keys was arrested. He's being held in the Santa Rosa jail on a manslaughter charge without bond. The Major Crimes Unit is investigating that incident. An Okaloosa County woman's accused of running an online fundraising scheme. Crestview's Maitland White was arrested for online impersonation. Court records show she pretended to be the father of a teenage girl that died last year in the flooding and asked for money on GoFundMe and on SpotFund. The girl's real father found out and reported it to authorities. Investigators say White told them she was just a single mom looking for easy money. There's no word on how much money she collected. Governor Ron DeSantis says he thinks the state's attempt to redraw its congressional map could lead to years of litigation. He was on Fox News over the weekend to discuss redistricting. The governor said he expects the legislature will pass a new map in late April, and he said he'll sign it immediately. The governor also said he does anticipate legal challenges that could drag all the way into 2028. Well, Clearwater is apparently in the grips of duck mania this week. That's what their city officials said yesterday, where a 61-foot inflatable duck has been installed at Coachman Park. Apparently, it's called Mama Duck. It's there for a few weeks, and it's the world's largest inflatable duck. It drew a crowd of hundreds of people yesterday as they hold their Duck Dash 5K. It's 5:35 here at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a check on our forecast with Brooke Richards.
We are going to be looking at some very cold weather as we go through your day today. We are starting off with temperatures in the 30s. Highs today in the low 50s. As we head overnight tonight, temperatures expected to drop close to freezing again. As you head into Tuesday, mostly sunny skies, high near 59. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping into the 40s. We'll be looking slightly warmer on Wednesday with a 20% chance of rain, high near 62. But temperatures back on the Thursday by Wednesday night. Stay connected. Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And again, a cold start to our morning, 36 degrees right now. Our next news at 6, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. UK Prime Minister Keir Starmer said he wants all options on the table, including a potential ban on Elon Musk's X platform in Britain over the use of its artificial intelligence tool Grok to generate sexualized images of people without their consent. Starmer's remarks come as Musk's platform faces scrutiny from regulators across the globe over Grok's image editing tool. TSMC is expected to post a 27% jump in fourth quarter net profit to a record due to the seemingly insatiable demand for AI infrastructure. LSEG analysts say Taiwan semiconductor manufacturing company is forecast to report a net profit of just over $15 billion for the 3 months through December 31st. Counterpoint Research says global smartphone shipments rose 2% year-on-year in 2025, lifted by stronger demand and economic momentum in emerging markets. Apple led the market with a 20% share, supported by solid demand in emerging and mid-sized markets and strong sales of the iPhone 17 series. Futures are moderately lower. That's Your Money Now.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction Wednesday at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Are you looking for the best news in talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Yeah, I'm not sure that we have the version of that where Starship says we built this city on e-dates and other economic development incentives, but that's okay. That's okay. Joining us now, we have Chris Plotte. He is the CEO of Florida West Economic Development Alliance. That is our local in Escambia County, the economic development arm. In Santa Rosa County, it's much simpler. It's just a part of the government. In Escambia County, we have this kind of long history with the chamber and the spinoff into Visit and into Florida West and so forth, and the relationship with Pensacola Economic Development Council, PEDC. Don't ask me to explain all of it. It's not that important to understand, you know, unless you're really a nerd. But that's okay. Chris Plotte has been in the job for about a year now. Chris, welcome to the Pensacola Morning News. I think for the first time. Is that right?
That's right. How are you?
I'm doing great. Although I think maybe Danny Zimmern had you on. So not the first time on the station, just maybe the first time you and I have talked. So great. By the way, congratulations on being in the job for about a year. I know you and I have talked kind of offline before, but things seem to be going well. I like some of the stuff that's happening. We had a big day yesterday. The Escambia County Commission voted, I believe, unanimously to approve Field International Group, which is the actual people behind the project. Was it Britain? Was that the name of the code?
Yeah, not that original, but yeah, Project Britain. And
so for people who don't know, what are they? Where do they come from? What do they do? What does it mean to us?
Yeah, so they do basically equipment for companies like ST to continue to do MRO work. They do MRO themselves, which is the maintenance, repair, and overhaul of aerospace companies or, you know, equipment, the actual planes or engines, whatever.
Okay. So they, I saw Channel 3 was running some B-roll for them, and it, you know, largely what it featured was engines in various states of construction. Is they build the engine, they build the tools to work on the engine, they build the parts that go into the engine, or something else entirely?
Yeah, they're a little bit of everything.
Okay.
You know, actually, like within the Boeing manual, it references some of the equipment that they build. So they do, you know, land equipment to help, like, remove the engine, all kinds of things, if you can imagine. It's just sort of this Sears catalog of aerospace maintenance and, you know, assistance.
Okay. So how will this interact with – they're going to be where? Midtown Commerce Park, the old Superfund site on 29? Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. The initial building, they found a facility on Pasco Street, and so they're going to – go there and, you know, start up the facility and then grow and build their own permanent headquarters.
By the way, if I'm not mistaken, that's the first thing on the Superfund site, right? That's the first actual building out there. Is that right?
This would not be this is taking an existing building, but it's the first project in gosh knows how long.
Yeah.
That landed out there.
And I know y'all had, I know the county commission had the cow yesterday for talking about that specifically, and we'll get to that in a minute because I have not watched it yet, but that's as much news as the fact that they're coming here. It's going to be what, 50 jobs on the first phase? Is that right?
Yeah. The $8 million of machinery and equipment that they're bringing and putting in the building with 50 jobs paying an average of $80,000.
Are these, and I know always the question people have about economic development is, are these jobs that will be exclusively for local residents, largely for local residents, you know, or are they going to bring the jobs from elsewhere? Do we have the training pipeline that's going to be able to produce the technical skills that they need for their employees yet, or does that need to be developed?
So it'll be largely from here. I would never say exclusive.
Okay.
For a company, but yeah, I mean, largely. And if you look at the way they've described their other facilities throughout the world, is they hire and focus on local.
Okay.
So it's basically everything with the company is very family focused and family oriented. So that's how they even, you know, sort of manage the workforce. And so they want those people to be local, be a part of the community. It's, you know, we're very lucky in the Escambia that we can be picky, you know, Pensacola and the community has just been so desirable. So we can be a little bit more choosy on those companies that come in and the way they treat their employees, from what we've seen, is going to be exactly what we want here.
And apparently what they love about here is us. You know, they love the community, they love the location, they love the people. All the things that we heard the other day from the American Magic folks, too, is the welcoming of those folks, right?
That's exactly right. It was so you know, interesting to hear at the American Magic event, you know, that same story.
Yeah.
You know, it's this community, and to be new, you know, I'm from the Carolinas, I found it to be the same way. So when we
same.
Talk to our
yeah,
clients,
me too.
It's not a, yeah, it's exactly, yeah, I think I heard you talk about that yesterday. It's not a sales pitch. you know, you're honestly talking about how this community is so welcoming, what your experience has been, and it is true every time. So
yeah, I mean, there might be a small contingent of, you know, kind of anti-carpetbagger, anti-other sort of sentiment, but it's really rare. I mean, I was amazed coming here, you know, 12 years ago, how open, welcoming, and eager people were to, you know, help me and talk to me and explain things to me. And that's what I hear from everybody. And it's just true. We are that kind of people, which is quite a selling point. You know, you can come and show people the facility, you can come and show people the beach, and then just take them out to lunch a few times and they'll get sold. You know, they'll see right away that's kind of how we are. It's Chris Plate, Florida West, talking about Project Britain, which it turns out to be Field International Group, a kind of a parts and equipment supplier for the maintenance, repair, and overhaul, like ST Engineering and Aerospace is doing. Help me just get a real good picture of what exactly their role is. It sounds like they're a little bit like how Blue Wind makes the nacelles that then GE Vernova uses to put the machine heads into and assembles. Is it like that they are really a supplier for things that ST is going to use and that's going to be their role here? Or is it something, am I not thinking about this the right way?
Yeah, I mean, that's a smaller piece of it, but it's a definite piece. But you know, it's not because of ST. They went throughout the U.S. kind of looking for a location from everywhere from Chicago, Ohio, you know, down to the Gulf. And so they supply across the globe to basically every OEM, so Airbus to, you know, Boeing to whoever. So they help supply them. They also help supply that maintenance supply chain.
Okay.
So like ST Aerospace, King Aero, you know, people that we have here. So
okay, so it's definitely not like Blue. It's definitely not like Blue Wind, and I mean, it's not as a like this is not a key location for them because they're that operation. They just wanted a place in the U.S. and they picked us out of all the places they were looking at that could have been anywhere.
Right, and okay. So again, moving their headquarters here eventually from the U.K. So this is not only a great location because of things like ST and having Mobile across, you know, in the. And Airbus over in Mobile.
Yeah.
It's the it's a competitive location globally for them. So
when you were talking with them, that 29 location, that Midtown Commerce Park, the old Superfund site, I mean, it's really languished, right? All these years, we've never really managed to put anything in there. There's been a lot of talk about it. Obviously, the committee of the whole meeting yesterday, you guys talked a lot about this. What was the key thing that got them interested in that site, as opposed to, let's say, being in Santa Rosa County, which obviously they've been, you know, doing very well, or being up in the county, unincorporated elsewhere, or being, I mean, even at the tech park, I suppose you could imagine that, or at OLF-8, which is, I mean, not quite ready yet. But from your point of view, what sold them on that location particularly?
Yeah, I think it was literally the available building. We had a handful of buildings that would work for them.
Okay.
And then the building that they chose was just, it fit for this first phase. And it allows them, they'll be there about 3 years. In about a year and a half, they'll start to build a 100,000 square foot facility dedicated for them.
Okay.
And so that'll be just a little bit further north, closer to I-10.
And that'll be also on 29, or do you know yet where that location is?
They have a couple sites, and so they narrowed it down to one, but just to let them continue to negotiate, we'll keep that open. But,
gotcha.
But it'll be an open greenfield project, so they have that site, and it's because of the access to I-10. It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and so that's going to be another manufacturing site and their headquarters, or is the head, or am I putting too many things together?
You know, they'll eventually take what they're putting in place now as they get started and relocate that into the permanent facility.
Oh, okay. So this is temporary.
Manufacturing and headquarters and everything.
Okay, yeah. So this is let's get going now at the facility at the Midtown Commerce Park. Eventually we're going to build a building, move this into that, and also add our headquarters. Is that right?
Correct.
Oh, okay. That's correct. All right, great. So let's talk about, I mean, again, this is, you know, fantastic news. I love new jobs. I love investment, and especially if you've got an international company coming here as opposed to anywhere else in the United States. That's pretty nice feather in the cap to be able to say, hey, this is the place. Talk about the Midtown Commerce Park and the plan, the committee of the whole that you guys had yesterday. I feel like it's, you know, it's just, I mean, the whole time I've lived here, it's just been, you know, fenced and overgrown, right? Okay, so where are we at on that, and what did the commissioners decide yesterday with regards to developing that site?
Yeah, they were basically looking at the whole area, even across Palafox on the west side, their available properties that they received from EPA and how to best utilize those. And so, you know, there's some projects in the southern end that may incorporate an animal shelter and some other things that the county needs, fire training. But it's to the north is what Florida West and the county will work together on to master plan so we can, you know, utilize all the property there. And then try to attach that to some private owned property as well to kind of link it back up. And there's about a little over 100 acres when you combine all that that we can target and push for companies that would be a good fit for Midtown.
Okay. And I know, you know, people who might not be like see it all the time or drive through the area, but, you know, for years and years, the old soccer complex at W Street just sat there vacant. In fact, I remember, you know, we used to go over there and shoot off model rockets, and, you know, I taught my kids how to start driving back on there when those roads were all open. And at least I think that's right. Anyway, I know we used to go back there for stuff. And, you know, also there was vagrancy and some crime and all that kind of stuff. But then it got closed off, and now it's just this giant regional trucking facility. There's going to be a Wawa on W29 at W. You know, that's been renovated and it's completely different. And that's the funny thing about economic development is you're so used to it being one way for a long time, and then it can seem like suddenly within the space of a year or two, the whole nature of a location can change, right?
That's right. And funny you said that, that's generally the area that they're looking at for the finished headquarters.
Oh, okay. All right. Very good. Well, you know, there's a lot of sites in that vicinity, and, you know, you get used to 29 being one thing or any street being one thing, and then it can be something else. I did want to ask you just, I remember I think it was the previous Committee of the Whole that you presented about the tech park. And for people who might not have heard that conversation, and I know I talked about it, but I don't think we did a lot with it. There's been, you know, that is another site that it's kind of the target of ridicule a lot for people who say economic development doesn't work, and they'll say, well, look at the tech park, or look at OLF 8, or right. You know, look at the community maritime park and see what doesn't happen. And it's this kind of ongoing black eye for economic development in Escambia County. But you have stepped in and begun some things happening there that are pretty significant for developing that parcel, making it usable. Can you just maybe spend a minute or two and tell people what's going on at the tech park? That's for people who don't know, that's right across from the Bay Center when you come down off 110 to the right there by the cemetery. That's that parcel we're talking about.
Yeah, a lot of people know it because they park there and have lunch. So it's kind of an underutilized piece for sure.
Right.
So we have come in there and basically, you know, some of the basic blocking and tackling wasn't done. So we needed to do some geotech at the appraisals, start to look at it, and so we have all that ready to go now. There were some limitations that were put on the property. Those restrictions are gone, so it kind of opens us up to really work with it. We have a couple projects that are looking pretty heavily at it. Actually, we're meeting next week with one of those to get that a little bit further down the line. But it's also trying to look at Tech Park as not just this isolated entity, but how does it work in the ecosystem there?
Sure.
And so if you look at from IHMC to the Florida Power Building, which we'll find out where that goes, but that sort of crescent right there is a wonderful place to kind of develop a defense and AI cluster. And so that's what we're trying to market that as. And then also to be an asset, not only, you know, we need like a parking deck because it's only a 9-acre site. So you've got to put the employees somewhere. And so we'll hopefully have a parking deck there. That parking deck off hours from, you know, 8 to 5 would be for the tech park, from 5 to whatever would be available for, like, whatever's going to develop at the Bay Center.
Okay, so it would function a lot the way the parking lot at Community Maritime Park works, which is during business hours it's reserved for the Studer building, during off hours it's used for the Wahoos games.
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
And it makes sense to get, again, full utilization of that as we look to, you know, get a developer, hopefully, to build that parking deck so that it makes business sense for them.
When do we expect the company to move in, Field? When are they going to come?
Oh, so Field is, I think they are, because we were waiting on last night, they are have some staff here already in the building sort of mapping out things, so the equipment should be coming soon. Now they've green-lighted everybody to start bringing stuff, and so they'll be operational within months.
Oh, okay. And then last thing, somebody texted me in and says, So it's a 10-year E-date, so they're not going to pay taxes on the development, but they're not. It doesn't sound like they're doing a lot of development. They're just repurposing. You correct me if I'm wrong. Are they paying us for the building? Are they renting the building? Is this, we're just using that as a sweetener to get them to come here long-term with their full facility? What's the money look like?
Yeah, so it's a private function, you know, not a government function of that building. So it's a, we have a private lease with that group. We are assisting to kind of sort of take the edge off on the equipment, the property tax that we have on the equipment in phase one.
$8 million
is solely machinery and equipment.
Okay.
And again, the E-Date program, I know a lot of people, there's some nuance to this, and we're going to go to the county commissioners and talk more about it, but we're going to modify the E-Date a little bit, for just modernize it. And, you know, this is new money. This is not, the county's not giving up its existing funds. This is funds that you would be new to you. So in the initial 5 up to 10 years for certain projects, you'll abate a certain portion.
Right.
And then they take the full, then they'll pay the full rate after that period. So,
and that's, you're exactly right. This is something people sometimes misunderstand. It's not that the county is spending money. They're foregoing what they could have otherwise collected on the economic development ad valorem tax exemption. So, or the exemption that they're granting the E-Debt. All right. Very
right.
Good. Chris Platte.
So a lot of people.
Go ahead. We're just totally out of time, but go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. You know, I was going to say, you know, 100% of nothing is zero.
So, right.
You know, in many cases. So, yeah, this is, again, new money that allows us to do new things and keep the taxes low.
Well, I know we've had a lot of maybe it will, could be happening, names of projects that don't pan out. So it's great to hear one that is going to actually happen, especially in your first year of being in the job as Florida West CEO. Chris Platte, he's the CEO of Florida West Economic Development Alliance. Thanks for the time. Congratulations on the big win. And I know we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you.
Absolutely. By the way, I think I was just in the process of kind of verifying this, but I think even though it is near the Midtown Commerce Park, I don't think it is actually on the Midtown Commerce Park. I think it's some buildings that are kind of in the back right next to the railroad. And so what they're, I believe the E-Date is actually, as he said, is for the machinery inside the building. The building is owned privately. So just, you know, is it a big win for on that site? Well, I mean, not exactly. It's not development on the Midtown Commerce Park site per se. At least I believe that is correct. 5:55 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel Wednesday at 9:30 when guests from Pensacola State College will be discussing everything from registration to graduation and so much more. And did you know that 92% of PSC students graduate loan-free? Learn more Wednesday at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with guests from Pensacola State College.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
In a world of payroll and HR services, things can get complicated. There are so many moving parts in business. At Avalon HR, we understand, and we have your back. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel as we guide you through the complicated world of payroll and HR services. Running a business is busy work. Allow Avalon HR to work with you. Join us Wednesday on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Hugh Hewitt Show, weekdays 2 till 4, right after Markley Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Ugh. Let's just say it that way out loud. Ugh. It's my fault, by the way. It's totally my fault. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. There's a big strike in New York City today. Thousands of nurses going on strike, over 16,000 of them throughout the five boroughs, hitting the picket lines today. It's believed to be the largest nurses strike in New York history. They've declared a disaster emergency. Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell says the Justice Department has now issued a subpoena to the central bank, warning of a possible criminal indictment. Powell says the indictment comes from his June Senate testimony concerning renovations to Federal Reserve office buildings. He believes those subpoenas are the latest attempt to influence the Fed and interest rate decisions. And after a weekend of protests across the country over the deadly ICE shooting in Minneapolis, Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem says hundreds of more federal agents are now being sent to Minnesota. She was making the rounds on Sunday morning talk shows. Noem said the additional agents will be deployed to make sure ICE and Border Patrol officers are able to safely carry out operations in the Twin Cities.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 437-1620 if you ever want to text me about anything. And I was looking at the documents for that E-date, by the way, that the board, what they didn't do is they didn't create the E-date. What they did is they created a document that supports the E-date, and then it has to go to the state and it will come back. So it did not have the address in there, but I'm pretty sure that it's that existing warehouse on the back of the property that's not actually a part of the Commerce Park per se. So it's a win. Don't get me wrong. It's a win. It's a good thing. Definitely a good thing. Did we finally break the dam of, break through the barrier of actually getting that parcel developed? Well, no. And that's why they were having that committee the whole meeting and talking about who was going to get what property and the church and the fire facility and the housing and no housing. Can you build on the cap? All those questions. We'll talk about that later, though.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.